Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it's time to go Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
What's good, everybody? You already know the vibes. This is Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I am Harrison Sanford. Big shout out to you guys for listening to us on your podcast app. Just make sure you hit us a like, subscribe, and give us a review. It's all appreciated. And if you actually are watching us on YouTube, hitting all of those buttons as those most podcasts ask you to do is very much appreciated as we continue to give what you need and what you want. And what I want, Danny, I want to be a professional baseball player.
That's just don't we all? Don't we all? I was just talking to the kids. Girl, win. Whoever other kids I have might be the main sport, bro. Honestly, 15-year contracts are crazy.
Yeah, 15-year contract. Juan Soto leaving the New York Yankees to go to the New York Mets. Oh, by the way, yes. For the record, y'all, for the record, we will talk about basketball in just a moment. We will talk about the NBA Cup. We will talk about Jimmy Butler potentially leaving Miami Heat. But this deal is massive, so we have to discuss it with, obviously, Danny, because he's a professional athlete, and I have to get his thoughts. Juan Soto leaves the New York Yankees. I still got my fitted on. For the New York Mets, 15-year deal, $760 million.
Yeah, 765 or some crazy like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's with $5 million more than what the Yankees offered. That just lets me know he didn't really love being or care to be back with the Yanks that badly. $5 million difference. I don't think that changes much. But 766 is crazy. You know, that's 15 years. He's young guy. He'll be making that money when in his 40s. Good for him, man. Like. And I mean, I was always wondering, like, those contracts, are there any stipulations? Like, is it performance based? Does he have to, is he get injured? Is it void? Is it? If he could, nope. 700 of his, most of his guaranteed, even if he doesn't pick up a baseball again, like he gets hurt and just said, oh, I'm just going to go chill on the sideline for a couple of years. He's good to go.
He's getting paid. There's actually incentives that bring that contract value up to $800 million, Danny. And I do believe there is one difference. The intricacies of the Yankees contract is not fully out there, but I do believe that he has an ability to opt out of the contract with the New York Mets so that he could again renegotiate and probably get a bigger payday. So that is something.
After how many years?
I believe it's after either 5 or 10. I think it's after 5 years, right? Years he could opt out. Five or ten. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, the Mets and their new owner, Steve Cohen, or not new-ish owner, Steve Cohen, has got the bread. He did even put this contract on deferment like the Los Angeles Dodgers did when they got Shohei Ohtani, who's a $700 million man. His money is going to be paid out in the future. No, Juan Soto's not getting his layaway. He's getting it straight
right
to
now.
The bank account.
Yeah. I want my money now. I want my money and I want it now.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him for sure. I'm disappointed as a Yankee fan, but the Yankees also just got Max Fried. And I think if the long run for the Yankees, it might be better to get a compilation of players as opposed to just having one or two big star players, which now takes me to the National Basketball Association, where on Tuesday night, we did see one team that is very much star-driven take on a team that has role players but also has some star power as well, even though the stars weren't available. I'm talking about the Orlando Magic, Danny. They lost the NBA Cup game. They were 7.5-point underdogs going into the matchup, and it went down to the very last minutes of the game. Shout out to Jalen Suggs. But at the end of the day, Milwaukee Bucks move forward. What was your biggest takeaway from the Milwaukee Bucks advancing to the NBA Cup semifinals?
They got lucky. I mean, obviously they've been playing better. They've won in some games. the strength of schedule has been a little bit on the downside for me. But to have this type of game, shout out to Jalen Suggs, Jamal Mosley, coaching him the way he has, and having those guys playing well, if any one of those other guys play decently, they might lose that game without their two stars. You be in a game this tight without Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, like, that's kind of crazy to me. And Orlando still, that just lets you know, you know, give a lot of credit to Orlando, lets you know that they're a really good team. They could stay afloat without those two guys, so they should be able to win games. But it also lets me know how, you know, Milwaukee is not to where they need to be either, you know. And obviously, any Tuesday night, things can happen, so you shouldn't base it on one game. You know, any team could beat anybody. We've seen the Washington Wizards beat the Denver Nuggets, which I never thought I'd ever see in today's world, but it happens. But, you know, positive notes from Orlando and, you know, obviously positive from Milwaukee too. But to me, I think they're very good, but they're just not there yet where we expect them to be. And it's going to take some time for Chris Middleton to get back in a rhythm. They're going to need him. But, yeah, and, you know, Dame is a great player, but I think he got away with a travel at the end of the game there. You know, it's just my opinion. But they didn't call it, so it's not a travel.
Yeah, I left that game thinking to myself, the Milwaukee Bucks, good for them that they are going back to Vegas, but I wouldn't trust them. I just don't see myself trusting them. There's so many – I think there's – they have major flaws that can be exposed in the playoffs. One, it was bright as day, and this is no shot at Jalen Suggs. Jalen Suggs shouldn't be going off like that. He chewed him up left and right.
He's a solid offensive player, but he's more of a defensive player than an offensive player. And for him to go off like that is like – pretty concerning. Yes.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Jalen Brunson gonna do them dirty.
To see Darius
Garland and Donovan Mitchell gonna do them dirty. Like, if they can't guard Jalen, Tyrese, Matt, God forbid for the Milwaukee Bucks, they have to see the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round and the Sixers are actually healthy. And all of a sudden Tyrese Maxey's gonna chew them up. Now we gotta see if the Sixers actually make the playoffs, but that's another story for another day. That's what it's
Tyrese Maxey, Jared McCain, Paul George. Like, they have a pretty good front line. So a lot of teams in the East have a heavy front guard lineup that they're going to have trouble with. Whether it's Boston, Cleveland, even Indiana. You know, there's a couple teams out there that are solid in the backcourt. So, you know, in the front court too. So, you know, so yeah, man. They I don't know.
Mess around and they go on the Miami Heat team. That has Hero and Terry Rozier, they might chew him up too. Duncan Robinson might be running around the court hitting threes. I left that game thinking to myself,
you don't trust them.
Yeah. No.
If I'm a betting man, I'm not betting my money on them because it's just hard to trust a group like that. I mean, Indiana's been up and down too. The best thing about for them is that they're in the East, and the East is very shaky, some injuries. But a lot of teams are up and down. But this is one of the teams that we're supposed to consider a contender with Giannis playing at an MVP level this year. He's playing very good. But it seems like it's still barely enough, you know, and I don't see them getting past the first or second round this year.
Mm-mm. I think it's all matchup. They are not matchup proof. And then the other thing as well, you still have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who still struggles from the three-point line. I mean, from the free throw line, rather, yet. So that's concerning as well. We'll get over to the Western Conference side of the NBA Cup games from Tuesday night. So the NBA Cup semifinals is set for Vegas. We had two more games happening on Wednesday night. And we'll start with the New York Knicks, who lost to the Atlanta Hawks. Insulted injury after the game. Trae Young imitated Roland Dice right on the New York Knicks logo. It was almost like what Michigan did when they planted the flag at Ohio Stadium after they beat them in the big game earlier. It's disrespectful. But as Jalen Brunson pointed out after the game, if the Knicks didn't want him to do that, they should have won the game. They did not. And they're eliminated from the quarterfinal round in the NBA Cup in back-to-back seasons. Danny, why did the Knicks lose?
I think a couple of reasons. Well, for one, both the games tonight were a very low-scoring game. They just did not shoot well from three at all. 26% is not going to cut it. But you got to give a lot of credit to the defense, man. Atlanta, you know, they came to play. And you know who led the charge? Dyson Daniels. You know what I'm saying? Like, He caused some havoc. He was, you know, erratic, active, doing what he does when he was in that stretch of getting six steals a game at one point and, you know, limiting Brunson. So Brunson is the head of the snake. So, you know, if you slowed him down, it slows the whole team down. But ultimately, the Knicks just don't have a bench, bro. You guys just don't have any scoring off the bench. And score 100 points in today's NBA, it's not enough. You know, it's just not enough scoring. And you lost 108 to 100. But when you got a team that talented and that special, you got to find a way to get 100, at least 115 points. And usually you get some help from your bench. But tonight you got 14 bench points.
I'm not worried about the bench points because they have a bunch of scorers in the starting lineup. I think this was the same thing they said about the Warriors back in like 2018 when they had like one of these Warriors years. Well, they don't have a bench. Well, when you have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant in the starting lineup, well, you don't need that much scoring off the bench. Maybe it just depends on how you shuffle your rotation so you can sustain.
But the only problem is I don't see no Kevin Durant on that team. I don't see no Steph Curry or no Klay Thompson. They have really good players, but you damn sure better believe that ain't the same front line as what Golden State had. But, yes, you guys have a very talented team. I know this is your pick to win the cup, let alone
– they were the favorites.
Let alone to beat Atlanta in this game. I knew they were going to drop a dud at some point. They had a really close one against Toronto the other night, which was one that shouldn't have went down to the wire with – you said Toronto being Toronto having injuries that they have. So I think this is one of those, I'm going to say they dropped a dud or laid an egg, but someone like that, something like that, because other night, you know, Cat talking big trash, you know, basketball guys come back to haunt you a little bit sometimes. So if you're going to come out with that type of energy, you better come out and play a team like this as well with that same, you know what I'm saying, edge on your shoulder, chip on your shoulder, the same edge and talking your ish, man. And today they weren't that team. It didn't look like it to me.
End of the day, for me, it was Dyson Daniels. He threw Jalen Brunson off. Jalen Brunson was stuck at 8 points from what felt like the 6 minute mark in the second quarter, and he barely scored throughout the entirety of the game. He was kind of befuddled. And I think when you have the head of the snake kind of taken out of the offense, it really had a depreciating value on the New York Knicks, not just offensively, but defensively as well. I think they lost a lot of life. I think they lost a lot of vigor in that game. They gave up at least 18 offensive rebounds, Danny, to the Atlanta Hawks. That's that. You want to tell me how you lose a game? You don't defensive rebound. The best way to you cannot end a defensive possession unless you get the rebound. And that's exactly what happened with the New York Knicks, in my opinion, tonight. Didn't rebound, and I think it was so evident because Tom Thibodeau, at the end of the game, he got fed up with Precious Achiuwa, the backup center, who just came back a couple, last 3-4 games, and he went back to Jericho Sims because he just couldn't – it felt like he just couldn't take it anymore with the lack of rebounding. So this is a Knicks team that obviously is going to need Mitchell Robinson, as Shams Charania pointed out. As Sean Charania pointed out on Wednesday, they're not expecting Mitchell Robinson to come back until late January. So when you get an active team like that, like the Atlanta Hawks, and then you have one of your main players not being able to swag like he usually does, you get a situation like this, you end up with Trae Young doing what he did at the end of the game. I'm not a fan of it. It is what it is. Knicks deserve to lose. They lost. With that being said, Milwaukee Bucks, Atlanta Hawks going down Saturday in Vegas. That's the semifinal matchup. Say it right now, the Hawks are going to the chip. Yeah. What I saw tonight, they've already beat the Bucks this year. Dyson Daniels, well, nobody's shutting down Dame Lillard, just like nobody's necessarily shutting down Jalen Brunson, but he could disrupt the flow. And then it's going to be incumbent upon Giannis to have one of those real dominant Giannis games. Can he do it? For sure. But I think on the other side of the ball, if Trae Young decides to go on one, Bogdan Bogdanovich decides to go on one, they don't DeAndre have Hunter. Any answers. DeAndre, I don't see DeAndre Hunter off the bounce. But in my opinion, who's going to guard Trae Young? Who's going to guard Bogdan? These are dudes who could go off for 25-plus in a big-time game. The Bucks have no answer for those guys. I think the Hawks end up winning the match unless Giannis goes like 50 burger. on him.
Yeah. He still could do that. Even with Giannis with a 50 burger, they still could lose because there's been plenty of times where it's just him and Dame and no help. They're not getting enough scoring. But you say DeAndre, he had 24 points tonight. He's been putting up some good, consistent numbers. He may not be able to bounce, but he's going to score. He's a good two-way player. He's going to score for them and give them some points, especially off the bench, which is a big plus for them. You know, but yeah, I see Atlanta winning that game. It's a one-off. I think, honestly, Milwaukee got lucky the other night with Orlando and beating them, barely beating them without two of their stars, you know, down the stretch executed, but Dame got away with one. And tonight, who else got lucky? I think Houston got lucky tonight. You know, they won tonight, but they got a foul call on loose ball. I give a lot of credit to Jalen Green getting on the floor first, diving quick, getting to the ball, trying to call a timeout. They got a loose ball foul and knocking down two free throws. He struggled for most of the game. He had a couple stretches where he went well, but he sat most of that fourth, comes in the game, dives on the floor, knocks down two free throws like a professional, and ends up ultimately winning the game for him. And their defense is what won the game for him, because that was an even lower scoring game, being 90 to 91. It was ugly, 37-44 at halftime. Very ugly game, chippy game. And I don't know if we're jumping into this now, but I picked Houston for my winner in the cup. So I could see them not only just beating this game, but winning the next game. Was actually, they didn't play great and they won this game. They're due for a better game. And I say OKC played really well to me against Dallas. They might be on a high right now. And if they come into that game with too much of a high, they could lay an egg. It's an NCAA tournament at this point. And right now, it's whoever comes in with the best night on a random Wednesday or Friday or Tuesday or Saturday, whenever they play, that's going to end up being holding up the cup trophy.
You got the Rockets. I got the Thunder. I just think Isaiah Hartenstein is going to be able to kind of stop what Alperen Sengun, that's how you pronounce his name apparently. Ernie Johnson pointed that out during the broadcast.
Sanguini, Sengun. Sengun. Everybody's calling Sengun, yeah. Sengun, Sanguini, yes. Sengun. Okay.
Sengun. Yeah. Mm. Because of what Isaiah Hartenstein could do on both sides of the ball, then you obviously have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jay Williams, and you have Cason Wallace, Alex Caruso, guys who could potentially guard Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet. Give me Oklahoma City Thunder, not just to win that game, but to win the whole thing. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP. Part of the reason why, Danny, there's a lot of young bucks on that roster. They on rookie scale contracts. That money going to hit a little bit differently for them than it was for any other team. So I got the Oklahoma Thunder winning. Danny has the Houston Rockets. But let's take this moment to pause real quick, because I did mention the Miami Heat. And Shams Charania came out with the report recently that Jimmy Butler is looking to get traded. And this is, I mean, nobody is surprised. Nobody should. There is no – all you have to do in the NBA – is look at a player's contract to know if they want in or if they want out. And Jimmy Butler, with the player option for next year, obviously getting up in age now, wants one big deal. This is the same thing that happened with most recently with James Harden. This is the reason why he ended up leaving Houston. Reason why he ended up leaving the Nets. Ended up why he leaving the 76ers. It's the contract, bro. Like, when everybody wants that security, more identify with James Harden with the 76ers. But, and he's credit to the Miami Heat. I don't think Jimmy Butler is the type of player I would be investing in going forward. It's not to say that he's not a good player, but he just doesn't have that skill set, especially now with the age and his
availability.
I'm about to curse. I'm about to curse. Like, the shit that he got where he's just like, yo, I'm going to turn it up in the playoffs. Like, that's cute and all, but like, fuck that. Like, you need to play hard.
The regular season matters, man. The regular season matters. You can't constantly keep putting yourself in playing situations when you're spending that type of money to keep these guys, or, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to give him that extension, what he wanted, it's like, look, man, we can't give you an extension if you keep putting us in a play-in situation, and it's because you're not available. But yes, very good player, very skilled player. Everybody's getting older. We can't help that, but he still can hoop. But the fact that he didn't get his extension, you knew this was coming. He said it was anybody that knows anything about sports or anything about basketball, once you see a player does not get the extension he wants, especially of that caliber, he's either going to ask for a trade or he's going to test the free agency and try to go somewhere else and try to, I guess, push the market for himself to where he gets makes the team pay him more than what they wanted to begin with. So, yeah, we knew this was happening. It was only a matter of time. But Nonetheless, Miami has been playing very well with him and without him. They've been winning some games. They've been, Tyler Hero's been playing well. You know, Bam's been playing well. They've been doing some good things. You know, they beat Cleveland. They beat the Lakers. They beat a couple teams. They won like, I'm going to say 3 or 4 out of the last 5 or 6 or so. But they've been balling and doing a lot better as of late. And I think that's a part of, you know, them trying to, I wouldn't say build Jimmy up, but they think this is the perfect time because his value right now, people are seeing it. He's playing right now. He's playing well. And, you know, so yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'm at the point, though, Danny. Like, I've seen the script so much now that I'm not going to get fooled by it anymore. I'm just not like, yes, a player is going to play well for a bit of a time, but they're going to play at their best level
for contract year.
and then once they get paid, they're not the same player anymore. Like, stop. Like, these DMs need to stop getting hit over the head. Like, no, like what you show throughout the duration of your career during the highs and what is your normal effort or output that you put out there that I can expect? I'm not buying you at your extreme when you're playing at your highest, because you know why? You don't want me buying you when you're at your lowest either, because if I value when you're playing at your lowest level, then you're going to be saying you don't value me enough. What is your normal output and the result of your normal output for the teams that you play for? That is what I'm going to value. I'm not taking the highest. Matter of fact, Gino will tell you I should assume worse, not assume better at all times.
It's a risk. It's a risk. It's a risk. And that's why you try to recruit or bring in high character guys that have the work ethic, right? And you hope to see. And you find that out usually after you pay in the first time. But it's a risk. And you get this young kid that comes in. You give him an extension. You see how he works after he gets that extension. If he gets really satisfied and starts chilling, you know if he plays well again in that next contract year that he's probably going to get worse, you know, after that if you pay him again. So you have to, you know, and this is why you have to do your research. You have to do your homework on guys, you know, habits, on their character, on how they work consistently. How, you know, so it's a risk, though. You just never know how people are going to play out or work. I said, even you talk about baseball, MLB. We don't know how he's going to react or play after getting this contract. You hope that he continues it for 15 years, but after 5 years, he could be like, oh, I'm cool. You know, I don't need to opt out. I'm chilling. But if he continues to work like he did before he got that contract, gladly let that man opt out, and I'll pay you again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll pay you whatever it is you want. But, you know, you very rarely find that in these cases and in today's games, because other professional sports as well, where guys stay hungry after they get their contract.
Speaking of contracts, there's also Brandon Ingram. We'll get to him in just a moment. But real quick, I could pull up the trade machine if you want me to. But do you have an ideal fit for Jimmy Butler?
Well, and the teams that he suggested, he asked for certain suggested teams he was open to being traded to. It was the Warriors, the Houston Rockets, and the Dallas Mavericks. He wanted a win-now-ready situation.
None of those were.
I mean, it depends. You know, he could be if they trade Draymond for it, like he could play Draymond's role in Golden State.
But they're not doing that.
I don't see it happening either.
And he doesn't fit with Jonathan Kuminga either. And
I just don't see how Miami would do that. So like those places would want Jimmy, but I don't know if Miami would take the pieces that those places would give up for Jimmy. Dallas is not like I'm not trying to give up a whole guys to get you, Jimmy. Like, we want you, but I'm not giving up Lively, Gafford. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving up Najee Marshall. You know what I'm saying? But in Houston, it's like they can give up Cam Whitmore, but I'm not giving up, you know,
Houston
Shepard, Reed Shepard. I'm not giving him up.
Not giving up Tari Eason, obviously not giving up like a Amen Thompson.
Jabari Smith, like no way.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's absolutely no way I would do that. 6'10" can shoot threes, play defense? No.
He's good, but he hasn't panned out to what they expected him to be in their eyes.
Absolutely.
So that's the only piece, like those smaller the non-star pieces, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you got Jalen Green, Sagoon, you got Freddie V, you got Dylan there. Those are the core, right? Outside of that, Amen Thompson, but I don't know if anybody else you're willing to give up. Like, I don't know if you're willing to give up any of those pieces. Dallas, the same. I just don't think the teams that he's open to going to would love to have them, but they just don't want to give up the pieces they need to give up, or that Miami wants to give up to get them.
With the new CBA, I expect general managers to be wiser. Seeing that across the NBA, that's evidenced by the fact that Jalen Green did not get the super max. Mm-hmm. I think all GMs are going to be more responsible, and I think it's going to be a tough situation for Jimmy Butler going forward, trying to find his dollars. That's exactly. James Harden is playing very well this year, and even Steve Ballmer didn't give him all the money that he probably was looking for, because it's just a new day in the NBA. So Jimmy Butler's in for a humbling if he wants to get paid, for sure. It's just, it's going to be somebody else who got humbled this past offseason, DeMar DeRozan. He ended up getting a good bag, but probably not what he was expecting.
A little older than Jimmy. That's why.
I did find some, there was a quote from an anonymous Western Conference GM talking about DeMar DeRozan, basically saying that his skill, he doesn't relate to winning basketball.
You know, his style of play doesn't.
It's true.
You could say that about a lot of guys, because, you know, there's a lot of guys. It's not easy to win, and not a lot of guys do win. James Harden was very successful and does relate to winning basketball, but he's not won a championship. So you're going to say his style of play doesn't relate to winning basketball? Like, you know, there's a bunch of guys you can put in that category because they haven't won a championship.
I understand that. Another person as well that's looking for this is a complete shit show. Brandon Ingram at the New Orleans Pelicans, who've had at least 15 different starting lineups so far this NBA season. He's looking to potentially get traded because he doesn't have a contract extension. What makes it just worse, Danny, and this is I would tell Brandon Ingram, or if I was a New Orleans Pelicans fan, I would even say, just like, I know you want to leave because I know you want the bag, but honestly, we never even got to see what this was going to be. Like, we didn't get to see what DeJounte Murray, CJ McCollum, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Zion, and Brandon Ingram were going to look like. And I don't know how it was going to work, because that's almost too much talent, particularly to be the ball in their hand. But
he turned down the $50 million extension before, and then recently the $40 million. I think he wanted more money that they're not able to give him. So, I mean, I think originally they offered the 50 and then 40 came second. So I think he wanted to go back to 50. He doesn't think they can afford him, and he wants more money, or he wants a more solid contract, longer years or whatever. And he's a very good player, and he thinks he's worth that. He thinks he can get that on the market elsewhere. Hopefully he gets it, but this may be another situation where, you know, he's very much humbled, where, you know, teams are looking at him like a DeMar DeRozan, and they say, you know, you're a great player, but what you're doing is not relatable. Your style of play does not relate to winning. So we'll see what happens. There's some teams that could use him. I thought, you know, Philly was a team that was going to go after him if they didn't get Paul George. I thought he could have been a good fit there, but, you know, didn't happen. Might end up in Miami. You don't know. but, you know, we'll see.
I want every player to get their bag, but I am all for wise GMing going forward, with teams being like, yo, your skill set, you primarily want to do, does not mean we're going to win games. Therefore, I can't wisely pay you X dollars. No shots at Tobias. It's the Tobias Harris dilemma. Tobias Harris is a very good player if you let him play isolation basketball. Yeah. But if you play isolation basketball, you're not going to win games. if you want Tobias Harris, you should be paying him like a catch and shoot and make him play like a catch and shoot player. And if you do that, everything makes sense. But the second you play him to be an isolation player, a primary scorer type of player, then all of a sudden the money doesn't make sense, because it's just not going to give you the most output.
There's also has to be, on the player side, a more wise. Turning down $40-50 million is crazy to me. I know you're very good, but man, if it's on the table, you better. We don't want another Nerlens Noel situation. I know DeMarcus Cousins, Isaiah Thomas, those guys.
Dennis Schroeder.
We don't need those on the tip. Like, you're a player, you play very well, you earn that, man, and they offered that. Yeah, you can negotiate. You can say, all right, let's negotiate more. And if they don't ever put, take the $50 million, take the $40 million. That's a lot of money. Now, if you end up going elsewhere and you're only getting $20-25 million, you're going to miss out over the duration of time, probably $50-60 million, just because of pride and ego. Like, you can't ever make that up.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, I think for the sake of team building and for teams to have long-term success, you need to stop paying players that don't actually equate to actually winning games that matter.
Yes, 100%.
Stats are cool. Stats and are cool, winning is better.
I don't think anybody in the league is like they're going to start paying us $95 million like that. Like, what is everybody else going to get? Minimums? Like, so one player is worth everything in the franchise and the team. You got to spread it out. You got to space it out. Something's got to be done.
It started already, but there's a reckoning with these NBA contracts. And I think with more analytics coming into the place, with the analytics and the new CBA, I think general managers are or should be being like, nah, this is not how we should be structuring our roster going forward if you want to have a sustainable product. With that being said, let's get to that other NBA Cup game that happened on Tuesday night. Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Dallas Mavericks. And the straps were out, Danny. Straps were out. Kyrie and Luka both under 20 points. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did his thing, 38 points. I mean, the bigger takeaway is, though, this is the Oklahoma City Thunder team with guys like Kenton Wallace, with guys like Lou Dort, with Alex Caruso, were able to strap down the Dallas Mavericks. It is to be noted, this cannot be forgotten, that P.J. Washington did not play. He absolutely put in work last year in that Western Conference semifinals against the Oklahoma City Thunder, scoring over 17 points per game, shot over 46%, over 47% of the three-point line. He was not available in that NBA Cup game Tuesday night. He was out with an illness. That's a big-time loss. Either way, Danny.
OKC doesn't have Chet. Either way, it's a fair fight to me. Chet Holmgren's been out 6 to 8 weeks. That's another piece of the puzzle for OKC that was a big plus for them on both sides of the ball, protecting the rim and then stretching the floor. So, yes, PJ was missed dearly, and I'm sure Chet was missed, but this, to me, was a pretty good matchup, fair fight in terms of the people that were healthy. They had Luka, they had Kai, they had Clay, Lively, Gafford, all those guys. Those are the main core guys, and Najee Marshall, and then OKC. But you know, I think Dallas went into this game, I'm say over cocky, but you know, they thought they had their number. When they were playing last time, they had Nipsey, you know, banging in the locker room last time that I checked. You know, this is what we're hearing anyway. And I thought it was a thing, you know, because certain teams just have certain other teams' number. And I'm like, you know, OKC, I don't think they have that mental to get over that mental hump. You've seen it with Boston and Golden State. For some reason, every time they play Golden State, they can't get over that mental hump against them. But yes, last night, OKC came out and proved a point. And they started right from jump. Shai was cooking in the first quarter, and he never stopped from there. But, you know, they play well. It's a hell of a battle. It's a hell of a game. This is the matchups we want to see. These are the matchups we would like to see in, like, the cup final or second round. But, it's a great way to start the cup games, the quarterfinals. And, you know, it was great basketball to watch as a fan.
We'll react to the Wednesday games at a later time. I will say this though. I know it's probably hard the way the NBA schedule kind of works out, but I do think it would be cool if when we got to the semifinal round, if they switched the conferences. So the West would play the East would play the West. And then, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think
switch it up cool. Some. Yeah. I'm with that. I'm with that.
Yeah. Well, we did actually hear that there's some rumblings that when the NBA goes to expansion, they'll open up the playoff field to you basically throw Eastern Conference and Western Conference out the window, and you just say the best 16 team. So brighter days are coming ahead.
I'm loving that. Even though I said, you know, it's been historically, it's been that, you know, keeping it traditionally like East plays East, West plays West, and then y'all, you know, figure it out. But necessarily to me, it's like not always the best teams get, you know, the best matchups or make it as far because they have to play tough. The West is stronger. It's like, damn, we have a tougher route to go. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to make it there. Ultimately, you could have four teams in the Western Conference, Eastern in the finals, the conference finals anyway, because they're a stronger, you know, conference. So it's like both sides could have, you know, a Dallas, a Houston, a OKC, and a Denver or something like that. But because they're all on one side, it's like, yeah, we're getting penalized just because we're our location. But hey, we'll see what happens in the future. I'm for it. I want to see the best of the best rise to the top and play each other. Ultimately, we could have two Eastern teams or two Western teams in the finals, which, you know, could be or should be how it should be in my mind anyway.
We got to go. I just want to say this, and maybe I will just say this every single podcast episode going forward. Nikola Jokic, you are damn good.
Man, oh my listen. God.
Yo, the best.
I don't know if you've seen my MVP. Have you seen my MVP? Have you seen my MVP ladder? I don't know if you've seen when I was recently on FanDuel, my MVP ladder race. We had to pick top five MVPs. I don't know why I was the only person on the panel that had Nikola as number one. I guess.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Chandler Parsons, Lou Will.
You can't be tired of excellence, bro. You can't be tired of excellence.
Well, I think they were trying to reward winning with Boston, so I think he had Jason Tatum at one for Chandler, and I think Lou had SGA at number one because OKC. But I'm like, look, man, I had Luka five, I had four, I think it was Tatum three, Donovan Mitchell two, SGA one, Jokic, and I think they had Giannis at five, and they had Donovan Mitchell at four. I think three was Jokic for one and two was SGA and then Tatum at one for Chandler. And then SGA for Lou at one. And then he had Giannis at five, Jokic at two. So, yeah. But in my mind, like, bro, the video game numbers he's putting up, 56 and 16, 48 and 13. Oh, come on. Bro, like, the numbers, I don't care if he lost to the Wizards. Dude. He gave everything he could. Like, what more are you asking him to do? The guy had 56 and 16. An eight, you know, like 50-point triple double down there, and he's staying consistent, bro. He's doing what he's supposed to do. To me,
and
they're above 500, so they're still, you know, in the playoff contention. It's not like they're the bottom of the they're not where you know, Charlotte is or Washington. So,
and the way that he's now shooting 3-pointers, the way he's just he's shooting a career from the 3-point line at. He's the best player that we've seen in this league since LeBron James. And I don't think there's – I don't even want to debate it with anybody.
I think it's closer.
It's not even worth the time to I recognize we have seen some very great players since LeBron James has gotten drafted.
So – and the all-around aspect, yes. I mean, Russ had a stint where it went unbelievable. I mean, KD's just offensive juggernaut Russ was really
not,
good, but he's
Russ is not touch. Nobody is touching what this guy is doing. Yes, somebody might shoot better, somebody might have better handles, somebody might be a better individual passer. You could say Joel Embiid is a better. He had years where he's a better interior or more diversified interior scorer. I don't give a damn. But the whole
you can't put it all together. The package, the whole package.
Nobody can put basketball together like Nikola Jokic. That's it. It's over. No debates needed. This guy's he's incredible, and I'm mad at myself for not watching him a lot earlier. Because what I'm seeing now, like the fact that he's still got levels to go, is nuts to me.
Yeah, I'm shocked if he can continue this for. Even 3 years. I said if you do 5 years. He doesn't know the 3 years. He's probably the greatest player to ever play the game. Basketball player. He's about to win his fourth MVP, right? If he does it for another 3 years, he'll win at least one more of that. So he has five or six MVPs. What are we talking about here? He's the best big to ever fucking step on the court to just lace him up. So, yeah.
Wow. It's nuts.
Well, longevity. Hope right, keep that. Him and Luka. Hope we see Luka for a long time, too. So we'll see what happens.
Incredible. All right, y'all. Enjoy the games. You already know what we'll do. We'll be back next week to discuss more of NBA Cup. And now that there are over 70 players eligible to get traded, the trade market's heating up as well. We'll be back later with Inside the Green Room. Stay tuned for our next episode.